Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, national charity, the Gambling Awareness Trust, has announced former Armagh All-Ireland winner Oisín McConville as its new brand ambassador. This comes in the same week where the Rutland Centre's annual report showed 20% of its outpatient admissions were for gambling addiction. Well, I'm delighted to say that Oisín McConville joins me now on the line. Oisín, you're very welcome to the programme.
Come on, how's things?
Not too bad, and congratulations, or well done, is it, on taking up this role. Were you keen to take up the role as brand ambassador?
Yeah, well, I suppose there's a couple of things. I suppose I have been in recovery now just shy of 18 years, and I suppose, you know, you're trying to do a lot, you know, by yourself. You're trying to do a lot of things that maybe heighten awareness, but I think, you know, with this amalgamation with gamblingcare.ie, I think the big thing is that we're raising awareness together. There's an opportunity to tackle it together. There's no way I was going to do it on my own. There's not too many services that have the ability to do what they are doing right now, and that's why you know, it's a no-brainer for me. And I think the big thing for me is that it's obvious. I've done my due diligence, and it's obvious that, you know, they are helping people, and people are availing of the resource. So I think it's, as I say, it's a no-brainer.
Okay, and that's good to hear as well from your own research on the charity. Would you mind telling people who may not have heard about your own battles with gambling in the past, just to give people a kind of a picture?
Yeah, look, you know, my story starts at you know, from a very early age. It involved, I suppose, where I started at 14 years of age. I walked into my local bookmakers, had a what I seen was an insignificant bet on the Grand National. I suppose I seen it as harmless, I seen it as, you know, something that most people did. It was like a rite of passage almost. But the problem for me was that when I walked in there, I wanted to go back in, you know, straight away. I liked the buzz in there. I liked, you know, when I walked in there, that nothing else really mattered. And that was sort of, you know, where I started. You know, I didn't gamble that much at 14 years of age, but it increased at 15, at 16, at 17. By the time I was 18, I was already in the grip of a gambling addiction. So I think that the big thing for me was that, you know, I shouldn't have been gambling at 14 years of age, and I would have needed that protection. And I suppose that protection, I would feel, probably still isn't where it needs to be. My gambling continued. Like, you know, people think of a gambling addiction, they think of it as money, but there was a couple of different strands to my addiction. I suppose money was a massive part of it, time was another part of it, and then the other thing was the things I was willing to do in order to have that bet. And I think for me, you know, those things started to get more dangerous, you know, the beg, borrowing, the stealing, just doing whatever it took in order to feed my addiction. So people look at a gambling addiction, they think, the first thing they think is, well, why don't you just stop? Because there's no substance involved, so people don't really understand it. But I suppose for me, I mean, my hit, if you think about heroin, the hit in my arm was getting the money to have the bet. And whenever I had that bet, I felt a lot better about myself. I felt as if I needed to have that,
you got a
that
buzz,
feeling again, and replicate that thing all over again, which led me to, you know, a 16-year addiction that really and truly nearly cost me my life, because it's a very, very hidden thing. And if you can imagine, I walked into a bookies, but you can imagine how hidden it is now with the fact that we have much more accessibility through phones. And
well, I was just going to say that. We spoke about this yesterday in the program. I spoke with Dr. Colin O'Gara, who's an addiction expert, as you know. I was asking him about the Rutland Centre's annual report, and we saw from an ESRI report last month that almost 2 in 3 adults have gambled before turning 18. So as a child. So the prevalence of it around the country, and I, as you say, you had to walk into a betting shop. The amount of young people now in their teens who can bet without leaving the sofa.
Yeah, and I think it's almost alien to people now who have been introduced to gambling to to walk into a bookies and have a bet. It's all true, you know, online. The majority of the gambling that's done now, over 80% of the gambling is done online. And I think as a result of that, it's become more hidden and more dangerous. Less people, you know, are presenting for help and treatment. And I think that's why, because of the accessibility, because of the prevalence of, because of the fact that there's so many more people who are, you know, having that first bet, I think we need to have those avenues to help these people whenever they get into trouble. Because the majority of gamblers, there's not an early intervention like you might have with alcohol or drugs when you see somebody who is visibly struggling, you know, physically struggling.
There's no clear signs.
You can see the effects. So therefore, you know, it's a very, very hidden thing. And the majority of people who come for help, like 99% of people who present for help, are already in crisis.
Are they? And I just wonder where, I mean, what needs to be done for those people? And even before they reach crisis, because one of the things Dr. Colin O'Gara said to us yesterday was that there's next to no treatment services. That's the phrase he used, next to no treatment services for gambling addiction in Ireland. Would you agree with that, number one? What else needs to be done then, number two?
I will push back on that a little bit. I mean, like, I know of 30, you know, services, residential and community-based programs across the country. That's rural and urban. So, like, some of these include family resource centres. So, like, it is important to realise, yes, like for me, you know, it was important that I needed, that I got help. But you can imagine the effect that I was having on those people around me. So, yeah, so they also needed help. They needed to find out what addiction was, you know, what this addiction did, how cunning and deceitful I had become and what to watch out for. So I think that is important, and it's important to realize there is help. But one of the things we did with Gambling Care, you know, we did an advertisement. We did it originally TG Car. It goes out before and after GAA matches on RTE now as well. And one thing that that did is that sort of raised the awareness. I mean, the people who were getting in touch, 43% more people were getting in touch. So there is people out there who want help but don't know where to access it. And when they do access it, they realise that they're not on their own and there is some help out there. So I think we need to heighten the awareness around that. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is, when we do get people presenting, looking help, that we offer them the right type of help and the help that suits suits them. And I think through the trust, we are intent on making sure that that happens. When people present, that they're immediately being helped.
What do you think needs to be done from a government level? Because the gambling regulation bill is due to be enacted, the gambling regulator set up. What else needs to happen, do you think?
Well, look, we have a legislation there from 2013. I mean, you know, the fact that it hasn't been brought forward yet. I mean, we're in 2024. That'll give you an indication of the push that has been, or lack of. I mean, like, you can imagine in that time the things that we have done around alcohol and drugs in order to make people's lives better, in order to protect the vulnerable, and yet we have let gambling run rife through society. And I think that legislation needs to be immediate, it needs to be stern, and we need to make sure that we get it right. I think the other thing is around the regulator is that the regulator needs as much backing as is humanly possible. So if we think that the budget that's there or the manpower that's there in order to help people and regulate the industry, which has been regulated by the Bookmaking Association all along, if we think that the resources that we're putting in place, you know, are enough, I think we need to check it. Because the thing about the Rutland, you know, they are stark figures. The thing about the ERSI report is I think they are really conservative figures.
Do you think?
Because
so?
I think that, yeah, I think that we are talking about, you know, a serious epidemic out there, and it's starting to touch a lot of families.
And why do you say that, Oisin? Is it that people might be reticent about giving a truthful picture of how much they gamble? Is that it, for fear?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're a compulsive gambler, when I was a compulsive gambler, I was a compulsive liar. And I think the two things go hand in hand. I think you're constantly downplaying. That's the first thing. But also, you don't really want to admit to yourself, because when you admit to yourself, that's when you need to get help. And the fact that people are now starting to present for help in the numbers that they are gives you an idea of just how big a problem this has been and will continue to be. So, look, at any action, any heightening of awareness, you know, any campaign, you know, we need to make sure that we nail that, because, as I say, this is causing serious misery to people. Like I think Colin O'Garan might have mentioned yesterday, like, of all the addictions, gambling is the highest rate of suicide. And again, that's because it is so hidden.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes to a family in crisis through gambling, for a lot of people, for a lot of gamblers, they've already lost their job, they've already lost a house, the kids are gone, the wife's gone, whatever it is. It is very much impacting every single aspect of a gambler's life. So look at it in that respect, I mean, as I said, the fact that we are creating that bit of awareness around it can only help.
And awareness,
and the help is there.
I was just going to say that awareness of the problem and awareness that there is help and things can get better. And if you're listening to this and listening to Oisín and you're in a bit of a hole, you can go to rte.ie/helplines and you will get contact numbers there. Just pick up the phone and there is help available. I'll read you one text, Oisín, from a listener who says, Oisín needs to be given a voice in every club in Ireland. I met Oisín at a Kerry GAA club addiction presentation. His delivery was phenomenal. Oisín is a real role model for our youth, says that listener. Fair play, he says. Look, you had discipline, you applied your talents, you're extremely successful, and you will be a superb brand ambassador, I would say, for the Gambling Awareness Trust. And I say in with tongue in cheek, despite the fact, as a Galway man, that you're from Armagh.
I was wondering when you're going to bring that up.
Yeah. Look, we'll say no more about that until All-Ireland Final Day. Oisín McConville, though, more power to you in that role. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.